Love life. Are you loving life? I don't know. Are you loving life? Love life, liberty. Just considering the resurrection of Lazarus and how that really speaks of the gospel. For the Lord loved Lazarus. He called him forth by his word. He was dead, wasn't he? In the tomb. And then he had to be loosed. Love, life, liberty. And we haven't got quite on to the loosing yet. That's the really important part for many of us. Because you see, we've received something of the love of God. We know something of the love of God. For there in that tomb, we heard his voice call our name. Come forth. Trevor, you see, you were dead before that point. Trevor, you don't mind me picking on you, do you? I'm so glad he's here. Trevor, come forth. And you heard the loving tones of his voice. And life permeated through your members. You were quickened with resurrection life. But that was only the beginning. You see, your mind had to be renewed. The will had to learn what it is to surrender. I begun a good work in you. You see, I didn't know that, and I got myself in such a muddle. You see, I thought, well, life. Why have I got all these problems? Well, I must be dead then. And I wrestled and I struggled, and what's wrong with me? Everyone else seems to be walking this resurrection life and I'm bound up like a mummy. I can't think properly. I can't feel properly. And yet, although I'm alive, I'm not free. He started a good work. He begun a good work in me when he called me forth. Wes, he said, Wes. And I was like, come forth. And there I was in the darkness of the tomb, and a light shone in, and I was quickened, and I could barely see. Do you know, to be honest, it's almost like I was blind in comparison to now. But I saw, you know, and he began a good work. The light shone in. That light that shone out of darkness shone in to me, and I awoke. And then I spent a few years, to say the least, wandering around in the tomb. And those good old Christians, they meant well. I am not joking. You see, their commission, I've lost what I was going to speak anyway, but let's go with it, all right? Their commission was to be involved in the work and loose me. Loose him and let him go. You know, that's part of our commission in the body, to free people up. And yet, to be honest, quite often we're binding people up with our suspicions and with our judgments. And of course, this is not relevant to us here, by the way. But I've experienced this. I've experienced leadership that though they were supposed to be loose in me, they just bound me up and up and up and up. And I was wandering around the tomb. And I was wandering around. Oh, they tried to help me, but it wasn't much good. And then I got my orientation. You see, I'd go to one, please pray for me. And they'd pray for me and it didn't work. And then I'd go to another one, please pray for me. And it wouldn't work. And then come on to another one, well, what's in there then? So then I began to divulge, or, you know, and oh, what a mess. What an absolute mess. But I had life, just not liberty. But then somehow I turned, Revelation, and somehow I turned to see the voice that was calling me. And I walked out. And as I walked, these bondages, these ways of thinking fell off, and I shook off those heavy bands. I lifted up those holy hands. You see, God began a good work. And boy, oh boy, he's determined. He was going to perfect it. He was calling me out. You see, I'm not in that tomb anymore. Yes? Are you? He's calling you. And you're going, oh, Jesus, come to me. I feel so bad. Come forth. Oh, Jesus, can't you just come into the tomb with me? It's all warm and cozy, and it's a bit much of an effort to come out to you. Come forth. Put one foot in front of the other. You may feel like it's an eternity from this earth to heaven, from experiencing heaven on earth. Come on, come forth. I've said it before, you're just waiting there in that damp, rotten, stinking tomb, waiting for Jesus to come in. Come into my heart. You know, that kind of stuff, it's good, but it's pretty shallow. No, yeah. Yes, I come into you by my Holy Spirit that you might get into me. Do you know what? I'm looking back. I'm looking back. The tomb is miles away. It's miles away. But I'm not yet perfect. I'm walking with a limp. Do you see what I mean? You know, and that was I'm supposed to be talking about life. That's where we're going. It's always good to do that, isn't it? You know, that's where we're going. Well, where are we? Are you dead as a whatever it is that's dead? Or
Have you heard the voice and you're still in the tomb? Have you moved out but you're like kind of really struggling? Can't think right? Helmet of salvation. You know, wonderful how all these things kind of interlink, isn't it? Life. Life. Well, we're going to go with life. Essentially this, that God loved us enough to give us the life of his son to experience in its fullness and freedom forever. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and only in him can we experience the love and enjoy the life and liberty that he intended. Much like Lazarus, you know the story of Lazarus, we have read it a few times. Much like Lazarus, we're dead, spiritually speaking, in our trespasses and in our sins until the word of God calls us forth. Quickening spiritual life. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Though Lazarus was brought to life, he still was bound. We too must be loosed before we can walk in the full liberty of this life. Life. Have you ever said that? Oh, my life. Oh, my life. What a life it's been. Ups and downs. Gains and pains and losses. The good and the evil. Well, that should take you somewhere, shouldn't it? Where does your mind wander when I say that? The good and the evil. Right back to the beginning. How's it gone? How's it gone for you? What a topic life is. Much like love, enormous. And I'm going to cover every single bit of it this morning. Yeah. No, I'm not. Have you got life? Well, one may say this. Especially if they've studied biology. I exhibit the seven characteristics of life. So by definition, I'm biologically alive. All right? And I wouldn't disagree in our biological existence. And to exist is not to have life. Not the life that God's talking about. The Bible teaches that we are much more than a biological body. You're more than a slab of meat. All right? Your soul and spirit. And in order for us to exist, all right, we've got to have a body, a soul, and a spirit. They're necessary, aren't they? Can't live without your body, can you? All right? You're not just a will-o'-the-wisp. You'll always have a body, you know that. You'll have a body for the next life too. You will always have a body. You will always have a soul and you'll always have a spirit. The Lord cares for each part of you. He does. He loves your body. Really? What, you mean I thought he was just interested in my soul. He loves your body. He does. He loves it. It's a temple. I look around here. He loves this building. You know what I mean? Loves your body. And so if you're struggling with something, an infirmity or whatever it is, I want to tell you he loves you. I haven't got all the answers for you, but I know he loves you. And he's going to give you a much better body than the one you've got now. It's just you've got to wait for it. But there's something that works, that quickens the body. There's a life and a power that quickens the body. And there's healing and so on, but you're going to get a new one. Now, that might disappoint some of you if you're very attractive. I'm quite happy about it now. I wasn't at one point. I was like, really? Can you really beat this? And then I had too many quarter pounders. And it just kind of, you know, it's just fallen apart. I mean, it really is. And I'm like, oh, Lord, give me a new body. Can you make it a thin one? I really want a thin one with a six-pack and a... Anyway, not to show off, of course, just for your glory, of course, you know.
Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole body, Paul says, soul and spirit be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Body, soul, spirit, he cares for each part as much as he cares for the whole. And he's faithful to preserve each one of us, body, soul, and spirit. So the body then, the material part of who we are. Sorry if I'm, you know, getting some of you to suck eggs here, but it's good to hear it, isn't it? The body, the material part of who we are, our physiology without which we couldn't exist. The soul, the immaterial part of who we are. The technocrats hate it. The soul is our consciousness, our character, our personality, the will, the emotions, the motives, the thoughts, the desires, the aspirations, the conscience, those parts. And then the spirit is the innermost part of us, the part that connects us with God. That is the part that connects us with God. Can I just say this, and I'll go back to the notes in a minute. One of the problems we have is that we seek soul connection before we have spirit connection. And the only way we can have spirit connection with God is by his Holy Spirit. For those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, because he is spirit. All right? Of course, praise God, he has a soul and a body in Christ. Amen. But you know, we seek soul conversion before we... You see, the spirit of... And so we kind of... I know. If only we can make the music that much more atmospheric, people will be drawn in. Oh, I'm so... This is warm and it's cosy and it's nice and it's... See, we don't have to worry about that here, do we? Really kind of, oh, Jesus, I love you. Until it all starts going wrong, it's like, oh, my goodness me. Don't like... But spirit, it's spirit that will endure right through to the very end. And if we get that right, then it's outworked in the soul. Spirit. Remember I talked about that boat that Claire and I went on in the Caribbean? It was great. But she was vomiting and vomiting and vomiting. And we had to go down, down deep, right down into the, what do you call it? The what's it of the boat? The bowels of the boat. Ooh, that doesn't have a good ring to it. Can we find another word for that? Anyway, down deep into the boat. You see, at the top, splosh, splosh, bleh, bleh. So you see, but when we got down deeper under the hole, thank you. I'm so glad you're here, Mike. I'm so glad you're here, seriously. And so in the hole, and not so much movement. Are you blown about? Because you live up there in your feeling. Dwell deep. You learn to dwell deep, you won't be knocked about so much and you won't feel sick. When the waves splosh and hit you, you see, spirit, soul, body. And God works spirit first, then soul. Outworked, it flows out. The soul and the body, you see. We're outside in. God works right from the very center. He works right from eternity in your heart. That's where he works. You can't fathom the bottom of it. I can't. Do you know, I remember David Wilkinson when Nicky Cruz said, crossing the switchblade, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to cut you up. And he said, no matter how much you cut me up, no matter how deep you cut me, all you'll see is the love of Jesus. And that's the truth. You see, you're living on the surface where the froth is coming into the boat and it's all like, and you don't know whether you're coming or whether you're going. Am I clean or am I filthy? Am I this or am I that or am I whatever? Am I whatever? Listen, if you've got the life, go deep. Go deep. And you'll find the deeper you go in communion with God in yourself. It's not a selfish thing. It kind of just obliterates theology in some ways. I know some people are going, try and get what I'm trying to say. Dwell deep in God and God in you. And you'll find the deeper you go, the purer you'll be. The deeper I go, the purer I find myself. It's a mystery, but it's true. Spirit, soul, body.
Great. The heathen would say, I've got a body, I've got a soul, and I've got a spirit, so I'm alive, right? You should be going, not exactly. Humanly speaking, yeah, we're existing. Spiritually speaking, as far as God is concerned, we are dead. Why? Because of sin. Ephesians 2, 1 to 5, they're great verses. Just pick out this bit. And you were dead in trespasses, in sins in which you once walked. Apart from Christ, the spirit is dead to God and the soul is tainted with sin. Apart from Christ, sin and death work in us, decaying the body and polluting the soul. Oh, how we need the Spirit of life to quicken our spirits according to the Word of God, to sanctify the soul, to restore the intimate relationship with Himself by which we can truly live. That we may know him and the power of his resurrection life. Knowledge is very intimate. That's the meaning in the Bible. To know is to have an intimate experience with. Life in all its abundance, life for all eternity. This is the life that we're talking about. Not a mere existence in which we're dead to God and soiled to sin. John 3:16. You see, it was because God loved us that he was moved to give us his Son, that we might have eternal life. Most people get preoccupied with that word eternity. As if this natural life that we live is of no consequence. I remember watching The Gladiator. I can say it because there are no children around. Russell Crowe. That which we do in this life echoes through eternity. This life is of real consequence. To eternity. And what we do with Jesus in this life will determine our life forevermore. Jesus came that we might have life, but not just life like a mummy, life abundantly, abundant life, life in all its fullness. In all its freedom and forever. This is the life we're talking about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't just make a way. You know, we sing it. I love to sing it. Waymaker. He didn't just make a way. He is the way. He laid himself down. That you might walk in him to the Father. He didn't just make a way and go, there you go, I made a way, go on, walk in it. He laid himself down. He rolled out the red carpet for you, king and priest. He rolled it out for you. He is the way. He's the way. You walk. He didn't just speak truth. He was the embodiment of truth. He didn't just say, do as I say, but not as I do. He is the truth. Expressed here. But without the person of Christ, this is dead. It's dead letter. But with the substance of Christ imparted by the Holy Spirit, the living word of God. But if all this is to you is theology, it's dead. It's dead. It's pointless. Oh, it might help you a little bit in this life, but you're scuppered for eternity. And eternity is an ocean compared to the droplet of this life. It feels like it's forever. Well, it did once when I was about 5. Now I'm 50, I'm beginning to worry. It's running out. Goodness knows how you feel if you're older than 50. Goodness me, how do you cope? Well, I know how you cope. You know where you're going. You can't wait to get there. I'm 70 years spent and I might only have 10 left. For me, to die is gain. And you know what? Even dying in this life is gain. As I take up that cross, embrace it, life. Life. He sanctified death. I don't understand how. I mean, I don't understand, but he touched death. And life came out. And that's what he does, you corpse. He touches you.
And then, sorry to pick on you. I'll pick on someone else. No, I won't pick on you. You will never come back again. Later. Of course you will. This is it. This is life. This is it. Jesus. Touch. That's how he sanctifies you. Knowledge. Together. Touch. And then life. It's amazing. It's wonderful. I'm never going to get through this. This is... I am loving it, though. I don't know if you are, but I just are. Kind of...
John 17, verse 3. The prayer. The Lord's prayer. He taught us to pray something else. This is the Lord's prayer. John 17. Father, this is eternal life. You want to know what it is? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Do you want eternal life? It's in intimate relationship with Christ, the Son of God and the Father, forever. That is life, that relationship. So when you read this book, don't let it be dead letter. Father, Son, Spirit, I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me through this dead letter. Oh, Lord, I'm not being blasphemous. You understand. Bring it alive to me. Sow it into my heart. Now, death. I need to say this. It may spring us, put a spring in our step. Death may be the absence of life in every sense, but it's not the absence of existence. Now you need to know that, because you are forever. You are forever. You know, these great technocrats of this age, seeking the holy grail of eternal life, you may think I'm a nutcase. Think they're nutcases, because that's what they're seeking. Through technology. They are. Okay. That's what they're seeking. They are moving at a rapid pace towards artificial intelligence. In the quest for eternal life. They are. Now it's up to you whether you think they're nuts, they'll never achieve it. They don't even know eternity in their hearts, you see, made in the image of God. They are forever. They're forever. You're forever. You cannot cease to exist. You will not cease to exist. You will go on forever. And this is what Christ came to deal with. Now, if we had time, we'd go back to Genesis and see it playing out in humanity. We don't have the time. We've got to get a silly AGM business. But, you know, listen, you're forever. You will die forever, or you will live forever. You will exist forever, either in death or in life. Now, if you're not the Lord's, that should terrify you. Because I tell you something, outside of Christ, I'm a rogue.
You know, they lived for hundreds of years before the flood. Just imagine if life was given beyond that. You see, with the flood, the days of man were shortened. But just imagine 800 years of me existing without Christ. I don't know about a Hitler or a Stalin. You see, sin worked in me and death was the outcome. God got hold of me quickly. Others, they had the law to keep them. That's why the law was there, one of the reasons, to stop the outworking of it and to reveal people, to show people their need of Jesus. The law was for. Imagine it. Years on end. Death and sin and all the wickedness of men's hearts as sin outworked itself, and death and murder and just all the atrocities you could ever think of. Well, if you're not the Lord's, that's your eternity. But if you're the Lord's, life evermore, that should make you run into the arms of Jesus. The thought, you know, as I think about, gosh, just imagine if they managed to do it, man and machine and AI and super artificial intelligence and so on. The thought is absolutely terrifying. If forever without God. I am the resurrection and the life. We've gone on, we've got to stop.